Open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 3 this morning. And it's in my heart for these few Sundays to share with you what I believe the Word of God says about what is a Christian. What is a Christian? And we're looking at it in regard to a Christian's birth, and then a Christian's belief, and then a Christian's behavior. What is a Christian? And they were called Christians first at Antioch. And then he talked about those who suffer as a Christian. And thank the Lord that you can be a Christian. We want you to know you're saved. I'm glad that some of you are Baptists. Say amen. And don't have a thing in the world against the Methodist or the Assembly of God, Church of God. But the main thing is, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Well, last week we looked at some things and we came to this conclusion that if you had to describe in a simple statement what is a Christian, it's someone who's been born again. They've been born again. And I want to read just for our, in our hearing this morning, three or four passages of scriptures, and I want us to look at it very carefully. First of all, the most familiar passage in all the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and become the recipient of everlasting or eternal life. You couldn't be any clearer than that. It's somebody who has been born again. In this particular passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking to one man named Nicodemus, and he said, you must be born again, the Christian in his birth. There's a difference. It was my privilege a while ago to dedicate Cliff. Now, Cliff had a kind of a rough start, but he's doing great, and we thank the Lord. He's a precious gift from heaven. He's a real little feller. He's a real boy, and he's here. He's going to grow. But he's alive and it's a joy of his mom and dad's heart and all those who know him. There's someone living in their home now that was not there a year ago. And when you get saved by the grace of God, there's a new life that begins. Somebody that you were not, you become after you were saved. And if you've joined a church or if you've been baptized and there's not a new life in you, you're not a Christian. You've never been saved by the grace of God. And it is important and imperative that you understand the difference between being a church member and being a Christian and being saved. And the one distinguishing fact between all the peoples of the earth is that there are two categories of people, saved and lost, those who are Christians and those who are not. And what makes the difference is the new birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, along that line, I want to read the last passage that I shared with you last week, and that is in the book of Ephesians. So if you'll go from the book of the Gospel of John, go toward the book of Revelation, and you'll find after a little while there, the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Before a person becomes a Christian, before they get saved, they are considered, or definitely are, dead in trespasses and sin. There's no spiritual life in them. And my dear friend, in order for that life to take place, they must be quickened. That word quickened means to be made alive. They have to have a birth and to be born again by the grace of God. That's not just joining a church. That's not just deciding you want to do something different with your life. That's not just being tired of living life of sin. There is something that drastically takes place in a person's life when they're born again by the grace of God. And Paul says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. A Christian and his birth. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a recipient of eternal life. Paul said, he has quickened you. He made you alive. He elevated you from where you were to make you sit in heavenly places, that in the ages to come, that's the promise of eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, a new creation. I mean, he spoke the world into existence. He spoke the trees into existence. He spoke all the fowls, the fish of the sea. He created man. They came forth. They were not before, but then they were. And he created them. And when you're saved, he creates a new person, a brand new person. You become partakers of a divine nature. And the way that happens is, for by grace are you saved through faith. If I would ask the majority of the people in this radio audience, or in this audience, or in the radio audience, or internet audience, are you a person of faith? They'd say, we are. We are. The majority would. We are. Are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. But I want to share a couple of verses with you as I share the message this morning on the birth of a Christian. Notice in the book of 2 Corinthians from Ephesians, go back a little bit now, back toward the New Testament, back toward the book of Matthew or the other gospels, you'll find the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. And notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Paul is challenging this group in Corinth to examine themselves. Now let's see, let's make sure of one thing, that you're born again by the grace of God. Some things don't make any difference. You're in the final analysis, your political affiliation, your religious background, or your educational background, or your social standing, none of that really matters. What you need to understand is this one truth. Are you in the faith? Because we throw that word around so easily, and people say, just believe. All you got to do is believe. Well, I want us to look at another passage of Scripture in that realm. Paul said we ought to examine ourselves to see whether our faith is genuine or not. How many of you really want to go to heaven? Say amen. Amen. Well, if we're going to go to heaven, we need to go the way the Bible says. And it needs to be sure. We don't need any judgment day surprises. We don't want to come up short. I remember the first trip I went on that you let us go on the cruise down in Fort Lauderdale, I believe it was, wherever it was we left out from. And there was this mass of people, 3,000, 4,000 people trying to get on this one ship. And there was a young couple. And they came up to the gate. And I saw there was a little bit of discussion going on. And then there seemed to be some anxiety and then some anger and everything else. And finally, some guards came over. And finally, they had to go away. Well, the problem was they did not have a valid ticket nor passport. And they couldn't go, because they did not make adequate preparation and they did not have what was required to get to go. My dear friend, if you're going to go to heaven, it's a good thing for you to examine yourself. It's a good thing for you to make sure. And everywhere I've ever been, traveling, airline ticket and everything, my wife said I'd drive her crazy because about every 10 minutes I'll pull my ticket out and look at it. And I'll look at the marquee. I'll find my passport. I want to know where it's at. I want to have that in my hand because I want to know. I want to know that I'm ready to go. Got everything ready. In that regard, turn now to one other passage of Scripture, James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, and I'm going to share a few things with you. In James chapter 2, look at verse number 14. In James chapter 2, verse 14, listen to what James said. What doth it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful for the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. I want you to look down a little further. Notice what it says, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith by thy works, and I will show thee my faith. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, just a note of explanation. James is not saying that faith produces works, or that works produce faith. I'm sorry. He's not saying that works produce faith. He's saying that real faith produces works. There's a difference. There's a change. Will you bow with me for just one moment? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will help us. I pray, God, that, Lord, you'll speak to hearts. Our Father, we are interested in encouraging the saints of God and being a blessing to them. And our Father, those, our Father, who do not know Christ, I pray, our Father, they can be born again and can know that all their sins are forgiven, heaven be their home. And our Father, if there are some, our Father, who have, as you said in the Word of God, believed in vain, I pray, God, that, Lord, they would experience real, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I pray now that the Spirit of the living God would speak to hearts. Help me, God, give me that anointing that'll make the difference. God, without you, I could do nothing. And God, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls here in the building, in the radio audience, and in the internet audience. And God, get glory. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I just read to you in the book of James that he said the demons or the devils also believe and tremble, but how many of you know they're not going to go to heaven? And so there's a difference between saving faith and head faith. My dear friend, that's the distinguishing mark that creates in us the new birth. For by grace are you saved through faith. I don't want anybody that I preach to assume they're going to heaven because they say they have faith. There is something real about this faith. What is it about saving faith? What is it about real faith that distinguishes it from the faith of the devil? What is it? Well, let me suggest a few things to you in the Word of God this morning. And for sake of time, I'm going to have to give you a few references and have you look them up at a later date. But please write these down. First of all, I'd say this to you. In the month of February, we're going to have a campaign, and it's going to be called Whole Heart Month, loving the Lord with all of your heart. Because I do believe that when a person gets saved, God, the Holy Ghost, sheds abroad in our heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe there's a difference when you get saved than the average church attender. There is a fervent love for Christ. In the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 2, verse 7, it says this, that to you who believe, he is precious. And that word precious is a unique word in the Greek. It means he is the preeminent. Of all the things in this universe, he is the most precious to you. He is the most precious. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you do love him. The Old Testament command was this. He said, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the Lord answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. My dear friend, if that's the commandment, and the Bible says when you get saved, that we're not saved by works, but we are saved by grace, but he writes his commandments on our heart, then certainly the most important commandment would be manifest in your life that you love the Lord with all of your heart, and he's more precious to you than anything in this world. Amen. Now, how many people do you know in your community, in your home, or in your church, that if you looked at them honestly, and you could say, I believe they love the Lord more than anything in this world? How many? How many of us have in our heart a love for him that has made him precious to us? My dear friend, when you get saved by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost of God comes in your heart and he spreads abroad in your heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he becomes precious to you. I mean, he is so precious to you. You love him with all of your heart. And all that incurs, I'm going to deal with that when I deal with the behavior. But I'm dealing now with the birth. And there is a love inside of you. Now, Cliff over there, he's a friendly feller. And he'll get more friendly as he gets to know you. But before he ever knew you, he knew his mama. And before he ever knew you, he knew his daddy. And he loved them and knew them before he was ever born. How many of you have had children and you know that those children, as soon as they begin to have some type of alertness after they're born, they recognize their mother's voice? Raise your hand. Absolutely. They know that. My dear friend, when you get saved by the grace of God, God puts a love in your heart for your heavenly Father. And thank God, he said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." When you get saved, God puts a love for Jesus in your heart. Do you have that love? Oh, you say, "I got faith. I am a Christian." But when you get saved, there's something different takes place in you. He becomes precious to you. A second thing is this. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9, and in Acts chapter 15 and verse 9, it says this, that he said in the book of Acts, he said that you have purified your heart by faith. Saving faith is a purifying faith. When you get saved by the grace of God, it purifies your heart. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he wipes away all of your sin. He takes away the guilt of all of your sin. I don't care how many sin you've ever committed. And people say to me, "Brother Billy, you don't know how wicked I've been." To make any difference, he does. He knows every action. He knows every thought. He knows everything you've ever done. And when he was on the cross, he bore all of your sins in his own body on the tree. And when he died, he paid for all your sin debt. And when you get born again by the grace of God, there is a purified heart that takes place. He takes away all the pollution or all the penalty of sin. But then he takes away the pleasure of sin. My dear friend, he does not eradicate your old nature. I believe there's two men in you. There's a good man, a bad man. I'm not saying that you cannot be tempted. I'm not saying that you don't have still battles. But I am saying this. He took away the love of sin out of your heart. And my dear friend, if you don't love things differently after you make a profession of faith, if you don't not love the things you used to love, the things that were sinful, if there's something inside of you that says, I want to do that anymore. And if you have been a person of profanity and you use foul language, and somewhere even in your Christian life, if you slip up and say a word, there's something just goes all over you when you do that. And you say, "Oh God, I wish I hadn't done that." There's something in you that you're repulsed by sin. It's the purifying work of God's of faith, the faith that comes from him, not of yourself, but of him. It's that faith that causes you to be, my dear friend, purified from all of your sin, and he puts in you a purifying that causes you to have pleasure in sin. My dear friend, he takes that away from you. He said there was a time that you walked according to the course of this world, and you fulfilled the lust of the flesh. But when you get saved, there's something changes your life. And so here's a man or a woman, and they get saved. God forgives them of all their sin. And then they go back and they start doing the same old thing. They still go to the same crowd. They still drink the same drink, still smoke the same dope, still engage in the same sexual immorality. And there's nothing. It's just like it was the day before they prayed that little prayer. My dear friend, they've never been born again by the grace of God. I'm not saying that the devil doesn't tempt us. I'm not saying that we don't battle with this old man. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But I'm telling you one thing, he'll fix you where you can't enjoy it anymore. There's a purifying faith when you get saved by the grace of God. He purifies you from all the guilt and the pollution, but from the pleasure of it. You can't enjoy it. You can't live in it. And that's what he's talking about when he talks about practicing those who live in sin. That doth not commit sin means they do not practice sin. They can't live in it habitually and not have the guilt and convicting power of the Holy Ghost on them. My dear friend, if you genuine faith, causes Jesus to be precious. Genuine faith purifies your heart. But then I'd say this to you. Genuine faith is obeying faith. He said in Romans 16, verse 26, the obedience of faith. You see, when the faith of God comes in your heart, it melts your will into His will. And it changes you. Not my will, but thine be done. That's the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden. And when you get saved by the grace of God, it creates in you a heart of obedience. You want to obey Him. You want to do what He wants you to do. It's not a drudgery for you to do that. You run at His call. You're obedient to His commands. And as God begins to speak to your heart and show you those things, that you respond to that. And you obey Him. You do what He would have you to do. Does that mean you don't struggle with the flesh? Does that mean you don't have things that you battle against? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But there is in your heart a desire to obey Christ more than anything. He's written His commandments on the tables of your heart. And I want to obey Him. Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. I want to be obedient. And I'd say this to you. It is not the knowledge of spiritual things that cause you to be obedient, but it is faith that causes you to be obedient. That faith inside of you that He, when you got saved by the grace of God, it put in you an obedient heart. I want to be obedient to Him. I want to obey Him. It is a cheerful obedience. It's not a drudgery to you. It's not like you got some log chain tied around your leg and He's trying to drag you along, make you do what He wants you to do. It's kind of like in the Song of Solomon. It says of those beautiful horses, He says they have gold chains around their neck. They are mighty, strong animals, beasts, but they are led by a little delicate gold chain because their will has become submissive and they are led by their obedience of their master. My dear friend, when you get saved by the grace of God, there's something inside of you that said, I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. If Jesus wants me to smoke cigarettes, I'll smoke one that long. If Jesus wants me to do this or that or the other, I'll do it. But if Jesus doesn't want me to do something, I'm not going to disappoint Him. I love Him. He put a love in my heart. He put a desire in my heart to obey Him. My dear friend, saving faith is an obedient faith. There's something inside of you that causes you to want to do His will, to be obedient, and do exactly what He wants you to do. Do you have that? Do you have that? Do you see that there's something inside of you that causes you to want to be like Him? I'd say to you in the next place that saving faith, if you believe, genuinely believe the faith that saves, it is a faith that transforms you, makes you different. It changes you. A deformed person could look at a beautiful rose for days and days and days, and their deformity would never change. But when you get saved by the grace of God, when you see the compassion of Christ and the Holy Spirit of God shows you the compassionate Christ, your heart becomes compassionate. When you see the sacrificial Christ and how He gave His life, there is in you a sense of desire to serve others and to be sacrificial. When you see the humility of Christ and you look on Him in the Word of God, the Spirit of God begins to show you the humility of Christ, it causes you to be humble. When you see the holiness of Christ, there is something inside of you that the more you look on that holy Savior, my dear friend, the more holy you become and you want to become. It is a transforming thing. The Bible says that when you get saved by the grace of God, it begins to take on purpose. Now Cliff over here, he's his own man. But as he begins to grow, you begin to see some similarities. He'll have some features, maybe like Christy if he's lucky, maybe like Brandon. But you'll recognize as he grows, my wife's often said that I couldn't go anywhere with Charles and they not know he was my son because he takes on features like me. And my dear friend, when you get saved by the grace of God, you're changed into the image of Christ in your heart, in your spirit, and it's a transforming faith. And so here's somebody, and they join a church and make a profession of faith, and they go on year after year after year, and there's no difference in them. They've never been transformed. They're not any more like Christ in their love, not any more like Christ in their holiness, not any more like Christ in their sacrificial service, not any more like Christ in their passion for souls. Do you think that person's been saved by the grace of God? Do you think they've been experienced a radical change in their life? Do you think they've been born again by the grace of God? Real saving faith is a growing faith. When you get saved by the grace of God, you grow. You begin to grow. Your faith begins to grow. Now, right now, Cliff can't even hold his own bottle. Probably he's probably getting where he can. I mean, his daddy's a big, strong, burly man. But there's come a day that that little boy can do the work of a man. And when you get saved by the grace of God, saving faith is growing faith. You do not stay the same. You grow. Faith grows in its strength. It grows in its fervency to serve. It grows in its trust in Him. It grows like an apple. An apple grows in size, and then it grows in sweetness. And when you get saved by the grace of God, that faith in you begins to grow. And I've known people who at one time were hard, bitter, cussing, drinking dopers. When they got saved by the grace of God and they began to grow in the Lord, they became the most sweet, the most loving, the most tender, the most caring people. That didn't mean they wasn't a real man, but there was a change in their nature. My dear friend, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been changed? Has God ever made a difference in your life? And then the last thing I say to you this. I wasn't sure how to say it, but God showed me a little truth, I think. Saving faith is sure or certain faith. Now, what I mean by that? I mean, when you're talking about faith, people always have in faith an element of doubt. It's a step of faith or a leap of faith. Not knowing what the outcome's going to be. But my dear friend, when you're born again, your faith, just like everything else, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, he said. But that faith itself is a very gift of God. It is different than what we term as faith in the natural realm. What do you mean by that, Brother Billy? I mean, it's a sure and a certain faith. Amen. Let me show you what I'm talking about. When I was a boy growing up, we heated our house with a coal heater. Some of you might have had coal heater, wood heaters down here. And when I was up in school, we had one that had a metal box around, and it was fancy looking. You opened the door, and it had vents and flues and all that. But in the very beginning, we just had like a pot-belly stove you burned it in. And as I was a boy growing up, Mom would say, hot, 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 don't touch that. Hot, hot. Well, she'd slap my hand, everything else. And I believe my mama. I really did. I believe my mama that thing was hot, hot, hot. Mama said, it'll hurt you, and I believed it would hurt me. But I got up one morning, and Daddy had done fired that thing up, and the side of it, right here on the back side, was kind of an orangish glow. And to a little fella, that was awful pretty. Can I tell you, it's hot, 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 hot. Can I tell you, Mama never once again had to tell me it was hot, 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 hot. Before I touched it, I believed. But when I touched it, I believed. But my belief was different before I touched it than it was after I touched it. Here was a belief with an element of doubt. Here was a belief with absolutely no doubt. I knew that it was hot. Let me show you something in the Bible. In the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, you write this down. And let me do this one first. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, Paul said this, we know that he was manifest to take away our sin. My dear friend, do you know that he was manifest to take away your sin? That's the kind of faith that saves you. It is that you have experienced grace, you've been born again by the grace of God, and now you know beyond any shadow of doubt he was manifest to take away your sin. No questions, thank God. I'm glad he saved me. I'm glad that he came to take away my sin. I'm glad that all of my sin is under his blood. And my dear friend, you can know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. These things have I written in you that you might know that you have eternal life, he said, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. And that belief does not mean with a question mark. It means to know 100% without any shadow of a doubt that he died for you and he paid for your sin there. And my dear friend, if you know that, you'll say amen right there. Thank God he died for you. He knew you just as sure as I know you. And just as sure as you know your mate or your loved one or your family. He knew you when he died for you on the cross. And my dear friend, when you experience real genuine faith, it's not an aligning with a Baptist church or something else, but the Holy Ghost of God convicts you of your personal sin and says that that Savior, Jesus Christ, bore your sin. And when you come and experience real saving faith, you don't say, I believe it. You say, I know that he bore my sin on the cross, and thank God for it. Amen? Amen. Job said this in Job in chapter number 19, verse 25, I know my Redeemer liveth. That's the kind of faith that's saving faith. It's not faith with a question mark. It is a faith of certainty and surety. I know that my Savior lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Do you know that? Do you know you've been born again by the grace of God? Do you know that he paid your sin debt? Do you know that you know that you know? Is it for you a struggle to believe? Do you have to worry about it and wonder about it and question about it? Or has God, the Holy Ghost, wrought a work in your heart to where you can say beyond any shadow of a doubt, I know that he was manifest to take away my sin, and I know that my Redeemer liveth. I have experienced him. I know that I'm saved. That element of faith is birthing faith. That element of faith is saving faith. It's to where he does a work in your heart, to where you don't just think it, you don't just believe it with a question mark, but you believe it with certainty. I know that I've been born again by the grace of God. Somebody said it's a no-so salvation. That's exactly what it is. It's a saving faith to where you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you've been born again by the grace of God. My dear friend, listen to what Paul writes in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 12. You can write it down. Paul said this, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's a wonderful song, but it's a better life to know. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm glad it's not up to me. I'm glad I don't have to hold on, hold out, and endure to the end. I'm glad I've committed to him, and he's able to keep me against that day. And he which hath begun a good work in me, we're performing it until the day of Jesus Christ. I know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. I'm not always a good Christian, but I am always a Christian because I've been born again by the grace of God. I'm not always faithful, but my dear friend, I'm always saved because of him. I know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. Do you know that? Do you know that you're saved beyond any shadow of a doubt? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Brother Gary shared this the other day. He said it became one of his favorite verses. He lived it. It's been in the Bible all those years. He read it many times, but when he lived it, he knew it. And same way with me. He said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, can I say this to you? I know that. Do I go through battles? Yes. Do I go through problems? Yes. Do I go through sickness? Yes. But inside of my heart, you know what? Can I tell you, I'm going to share this testimony with you in it because it really bothered me. And when I was in the hospital, and I'm going to repeat myself, but listen to me careful what I'm fixing to say to you. It bothered me that I didn't have any supernatural experiences. I didn't see any lights. I didn't hear any angels. I didn't have any of those extra, you know, events that everybody else had. And I didn't have any of that. And it was just kind of like I was just going through it. And it was just like, and I said, no, Lord, I don't understand that. For me to be this sick, it ought to be that, you know, there's something different. Until about 3 or 4 months later, maybe just a few, maybe a year later, I was praying one day. In a deep, settled, I told you this. They thought I was going to die. Regina never thought I was going to die. And I didn't even think about it. And in all of that, while I was so sick and everything, yeah, there was a peace. Just a peace, that's all it was. But it's just like every other day. It was just like the day before I got sick. Nothing changed. And then when I got thinking about it, I said, man, all these guys write books about stuff like this. And it's all different, man. It's just, boy, you see visions and bright lights and all that stuff. I said, Lord, I must not be saved. I didn't have none of that. But then God, the Holy Ghost, made it real to me. I was just as saved before as I was when I was sick. And he was just as real before as he was when I was sick. Nothing didn't change, really. He said, yea, though thou walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil because he's with me. My dear friend, listen. There is in a believer this thought way down deep inside that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And my dear friend, I see people who say they are people of faith, and they can get a hangnail and curse God and lay out of church for a month. I'm serious. I have a big question mark about that. All these people who have problems and difficulty, and when they go through those times, they get the gloom, despair, and agony on me. Why, God's God. He's God of the mountain. He's God of the valley. And I know. Now, I didn't make that up. I didn't decide to believe that. Why do I believe that? I don't have any more sense than anybody else in this room. But God did a work in my heart, and he put a truth in me, a faith in me, that is a certain faith that says, I know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. That's God. God did that in me. God did that in me. God gave me a purifying faith. God gave me a faith that believed that he was manifest to take away my sin. God put a faith in me that caused me to know that whatever I've committed to him, he's able to keep it. And then there's so many, but I can just give you one last one. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, John has just got through writing and saying this, now we're the sons of God. And he said, we don't know what we're going to be, but we know that we shall be like him. I know that. Boy, y'all don't know me. My wife knows me, knows a little bit about me. But there's coming a time when I'll be like him, just like him. I know that. I know that. I'll stand before him without spot or without blemish. You say, because you've prayed so much? No. Because you've been so faithful? No. Why? Because of his grace. In the very passage of scripture I read to you, he said this, that in the ages to come, he might demonstrate that grace. He'll take a bunch of old drunks and dopers and whoremongers and prostitutes and everything else, wash them in his white blood, and stand them before all the saints of all the ages as trophies of grace without one spot or one wrinkle. And my dear friend, I know that's going to happen one of these days. We'll be like him. That's faith. That's Bible faith. That's not something I worked up, something I got pumped up, something that somebody put in me. It's the Holy Ghost of God put that in me. Do you have that kind of faith? I am, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And my dear friend, that's in the Word of God, that's what, if you've been born again, that's supposed to be you. It's supposed to be you. Because all those elements, he's no respecter of persons, he puts in every one of us. Do you know that he bore your sin? Do you know that he's forgiven you over your sin? Do you know that what you've committed to him, he's able to keep? Do you know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord? Do you know that you're going to be like him? If you know that, you've experienced redeeming grace. And my dear friend, you ought to sing with John Newton, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will take me home, thank God. When we've been there 10,000 years, there's no less days to praise his amazing, amazing grace. You say, Brother Billy, I will sure like to know that. I'm tired of being a church member. I'm tired of being religious. I want to have a radical change in my life. How do I get that? If I understand the Bible correctly, he said this, whosoever shall genuinely from all their heart, without any hope of saving their self, without any effort to try to save their self, without any hope unless he does it, comes to him and said, Lord, save me. He'll do it. He never turned one away. Whosoever will may come. And if you'll come to him and say, God, I want that. I want you to make me a brand new creature. And God, you can take away all my sin, all the guilt of my sin, make me a brand new creature, put a love in me for you, make you precious to me, put a desire in my heart to obey your commandments, transform my life and put in me something that causes me to want to be like you and live like you. And God, I pray that you'd help me to grow in my faith. If you'll come to him with no reservation, that's what he wants you to do. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? Thank God. What is a Christian? It's somebody who has been born again. It's someone who has been the recipient of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a faith that God had wrought in you. It's not a question mark faith. It's not a hope so faith. It's a no so faith. And it makes a radical difference in your life. Oh, I wished I had that. You say, I wish I could believe that. My dear friend, it's believing on Him. He is the focus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth, that means to have that real faith in Him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Would you this morning, without any reservation, give your heart completely to Him? And so, God, forgive me of my sins. Save me right now. I want to be born again by the grace of God. If that's your prayer, we want to pray with you this morning. Thank you that you're here. I've met a brother who was saved some time ago, Brother Lynn back there a while ago. Of course, Kimberly was saved last week and others. And I'm glad that there are many people in this building who've experienced that. Here's the wonderful good news. Going to all the world, preach the gospel. The good news is that can happen to anybody and everybody who come to Jesus and Him alone and trust Him completely for your salvation. Will you stand, please? Heavenly Father, I wished that I had the ability, our Father, to do in everybody's life here what needs to be done, but I can't do that. God, I know that You can. And Father, I pray because You love them and You died for them that this morning, God, You will quicken and somebody here in this building this morning. I pray, God, You'd make them alive like they were not alive when they walked in the building. Make them a different person. I pray, our Father, they shall be born again by the grace of God. And our Father, they'll have all the elements of saving faith, the real faith, active and real and vibrant in their life. And God, I don't know what else to do. It's Lord, thank You for letting me be here. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to my heart. And God, I pray You draw people by Your grace. And God, save somebody this morning in the building, radio audience, internet audience. I pray somewhere they'll come to Jesus and trust Him completely. And Lord, accept Him as their personal Savior.